This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. By now, you may have heard of Jack Wirth, the 19-year-old Emerson College student who was recently caught renting out his dorm room on Airbnb. The act of a plucky entrepreneur, maybe, but certainly in violation of Emerson's rules, which state that students cannot rent out their dorms, quote, to protect residents and the community from exposure to safety and security risks. Those risks are front and center in the new sharing economy. Concerns over who's offering to look after children and the elderly on care.com, to questions about how drivers are vetted for ride-hailing services like Uber and Lyft. In fact, Massachusetts lawmakers are expected to take up legislation this month that considers whether the state should force ride-hailing services to perform state criminal background checks or fingerprint-based checks, or both. But that made us wonder. We hear that phrase, background check, so often. What exactly does it mean? What records are checked, and what can be missed? Well, to help us better understand background checks, we're joined by Bill Connors. He's president of the Licensed Private Detectives Association of Massachusetts. Bill Connors, welcome to Radio Boston, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Meghna. I'm happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Okay, so let me just start off with that most basic question. When we in the media say background checks, what are we talking about?
I might turn that question around to you. What do you mean? Because not all background checks are created equal. It can be anything from a simple criminal background check to a full-scope personality profile for a sensitive job.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Massachusetts, let's stay with the criminal background check for now, because I think for most people who use these sharing economy services, that's probably the thing they're most concerned about.
Right.
In Massachusetts, of course, there's the CORI system, which employers can check for potential vis-a-vis a criminal record for potential employees.
That is correct. Employers, in fact, There are various categories of access, from personal access, where you can get your own background, any record of your convictions, contact with the court system.
Right.
And it's not – when I say contact with the court system, it really is limited to convictions.
Okay.
There is a standard access that basically an employer could get. And then there are four required accesses, or categories of access.
Uh-huh.
And those vary between statutorily mandated industries. For example, licensed private detectives cannot hire, nor can they have volunteers who have had a felony conviction.
Right.
So they're considered required one.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending, home health care providers have a different level or a different requirement.
Right.
So the CORI system allows for people to access, the public or employers to access it, but there are certain hoops you have to jump through or requirements you have to meet.
Yeah, and from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong here, there are also certain complications. Like, for example, say, you know, I live in, I don't know, Middlesex County, right, but I commit a crime in another county. Is it hard to trace if I give Uber my name, social, and address? Would they necessarily know that I've committed a crime in a different county? CORI would tell them that if they checked it, right?
Well, CORI would tell them if they were authorized to receive CORI, number one, which is a requirement. Anybody receiving that information other than your own personal information has to be authorized. What you're talking about, and it's not limited to Uber, it's anybody, any employer in any industry. There is a typically referred to as a district court check, and most of the online providers or the add-on services with companies that provide other HR services
mm-hmm.
use a district court check. And you're right, if you live in Middlesex County and you your Social Security is scanned, they'll see that you lived, the person undertaking the background check, the company,
right.
will see that you've lived there. They won't bother to check, for example, Suffolk County, Hampden County, Norfolk County, so on
yeah.
and so forth. They only look where you have resided.
And in a lot of the cases, in order to get that information, you actually still have to physically go to the courthouses?
In Massachusetts, basically, yes.
Okay.
Massachusetts is working on updating all the court systems so that it'll be all online. In theory, you could go to one courthouse, one district courthouse, get everything statewide. the Superior Court get everything statewide, but we're not there yet.
Yeah. So there are other kinds of checks, right? Like there's, you know, you give your Social Security number and they can do a Social Security number trace, which verifies basically that you say you are who you say you are.
Well, it does a couple of things. It verifies that you say who you are. It verifies that the information you're giving matches. It doesn't necessarily verify that you are who you say you are. But assuming that that's correct, Bill Connors gives his name, Social Security number, and address. It will verify where I've lived, what I've done basically in my life in other states or whatever.
Yeah.
It'll show where I've been throughout my career.
Mm-hmm.
They then look at the county, and they would go to a county courthouse to check. And a perfect example, which you've brought up, in Middlesex, these companies that provide district court checks, if you live in Cambridge, they'll most likely go, the people checking will most likely go to the Cambridge Courthouse, Somerville, Malden, Waltham, maybe Woburn, maybe a couple of others.
Right.
But they won't go countywide. They're not going to go to Acton and check.
Gotcha. And then there's, of course, the national databases that are run by the federal government, the FBI, et cetera.
Correct.
So there's all these different systems that employers can use, but it's up to them.
Employers cannot use NCIC.
Only law enforcement.
Only law enforcement.
For the national databases.
Correct.
Okay. So let me ask you, I understand that you, vis-a-vis your work at the Licensed Private Detectives Association of Massachusetts, you got some people hired by Uber to see how well they'd be vetted. Is that right?
The LPDAM is a state association of licensed private detectives. I happen to be the current president.
Okay.
We did that, and I'm not naming Uber or any of the sharing economy services, mm-hmm. but we did check one mm-hmm. who says that they do background checks.
Okay.
And we had a couple of different employees sign up for it. And all that was required was to verify their name, their license, and their insurance.
Right. And that was it?
That was it. But there's also a dynamic there that people are not looking at. If there's a problem, let's say, for example, someone works for Acme ride-sharing company, and they're a passenger, and they get into a tragic car accident. Acme Car ride-sharing company is not going to stand behind them insurance-wise, nor will the insurance company of the driver of the vehicle that's involved. Because in Massachusetts, we have to declare whether our cars are insured, if we're going to have hired if we're going to hire it out, or if we're going to have passengers for hire in the car.
Yeah.
Absent that, they will not cover you.
Hmm, interesting. Well, we just sort of did a survey of some of the big sharing economy companies to see what their policies, their official policies are. Uber uses a third-party vendor called Checker to perform its background checks. Social Security number trace going back 7 years. If something pops up, they send someone to the courthouse to further investigate. An Uber spokesperson told us the company doesn't do a Corey check in Massachusetts. Lyft, something similar. They use another vendor. They check driving records, etc. Airbnb says it does not do background checks. They rely on user feedback. Care.com has a whole variety of background checks they offer, everything from just a Social Security trace to like a whole suite of things,
mm-hmm.
But they also emphasize on their website that that they don't say they believe that doing the background check in and of itself is only a start, and that they strongly believe that users of care.com should check references and personally vet the potential people they're going to hire, just do further due diligence. So, you know, with that in mind, Bill, let me just ask you one last question here. As we mentioned at the top, of this conversation, that, you know, Massachusetts lawmakers are thinking about passing a law that, at least for the ride-hailing companies, would require them to do some kind of criminal background check or fingerprinting based check. So that would become a requirement for the Ubers and Lyfts of the world. Do you think that's a good idea?
I'm a big believer in fingerprinting for background checks. There is CORI, or the Criminal Justice Information System, and we see this in our business. Not the LPDAM, and in my own business, we see this dealing with CORI all the time. They have a policy for a fingerprint policy for municipalities to undertake fingerprinting if they follow a certain protocol. for the granting of municipal licenses. I would think it would suggest that ride-sharing services, like much like taxis, have to be regulated or would be informally regulated, but at least the drivers would be fingerprinted and checked on a national level.
Yeah. Well, some civil liberties organizations have some concerns with the fingerprint portion of the proposal, so we'll see how things develop on Beacon Hill. Bill Connors is president of the Licensed Private Detectives Association of Massachusetts. He's also CEO of Risk Management Advisors, a security consulting and investigation firm. Bill Connors, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks, Magna.
We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.